All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I got another special guest in the house. It's a former LFA strawweight contender. She's now in the UFC. She's a UFC strawweight contender. And she has some good news that we're going to talk about. She just brought it up on the show. I mean, right before we started recording. So we're going to add that to the talk. It's big news, big news. So welcome, Sam Hughes, to the show. Thanks for coming on, Sam.
Anthony, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, no problem. You know, I had to get you on because, you know, I've been a fan of you. You know, I've been following the majority of your fights. And just so you know, you actually been the highlight. I can't remember the episode on what show, but I put you as the highlight finish on one of my episodes for that Danielle Heinle fight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely got to go back and check that out. I had to break it down because I was like, man, that first round choke, it was crazy.
Yeah, everybody was talking about that for quite a bit. It was I wasn't expecting to get that finish in the first round. I was expecting maybe in the later rounds, but it worked out. So just made her desperate to shoot and then grab that neck and don't let go.
Yeah. So, you know, just since this is your first time here on the show, could you just tell everybody a little bit about yourself? I already know a little bit about you, but you can tell, you know, some of my listeners.
Yeah, so my name is Sam Hughes. I'm originally from South Carolina. Started fighting about 5.5 years ago. Just fought locally in Washington and then got picked up with LFA. And then as of December 12th, had my first UFC fight as a strawweight. And I intend to be a strawweight for the rest of my career. So, yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
Okay. And you were an accountant too, right?
Yeah, so I got my undergraduate degree at Wofford College, which is in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I did a double major, accounting and finance, and then went over to University of South Carolina for sports management, where I got my master's and ran track and cross country at my undergraduate for 4 years, and then helped out with the USC track and cross country program for about a year and a half.
Oh, okay. You did. Okay. So, yeah. You know, I know a lot of my guys I know around here, even some of the fighters I talk to, they go from wrestling to MMA. How does one go from accounting to MMA?
It is definitely a weird trip, and especially going from track and cross country, which is obviously no contact. You just run and compete against each other. But, you know, I actually found the gym where I'm at right now through a mutual friend. Whenever I moved to Washington, I just, you know, I had my accounting job, and then a buddy of mine, we were actually watching a football game. He was like, hey, I go to this MMA gym, do you want to ever give it a try? Or I know you're tired of like the global gyms, like the LA Fitness and Gold's Gym and stuff like that. So I said, yeah, I'll give it a shot, let me just try this thing out. And literally after my first class, I was like hooked. I did like a kickboxing class and I was like, okay, I love this. And then it was probably about 9 months to a year later, the coach actually reached out to me and he was like, hey, do you want to, you know, actually fight and get in the cage? Or do you just want to like do this for fun? And I was like, no, I've been wanting to like actually fight for a while, but I didn't want to say anything. And so from then it was just basically, you know, the rest is history. So it's been a crazy, crazy whirlwind adventure.
That first class is you just like the training, or did you kick somebody in the face for the first time? You was like, I like this.
No, it was actually just like Thai pads. So we were just doing combos back and forth, but I liked like how different everything was. And like, I guess like the high intensity, it was so different than just like running on a treadmill at the gym and then lifting some weights and then going home. It was super fun. And I don't know, I just liked how intense it was. And I've literally never gotten in a fight before I actually stepped in the cage. So, well, I mean, other than like training and stuff like that, but, so I had never, you know, punched anybody. I'd never like slapped anybody in the face or anything like that. So, it was definitely different for me, but you know what? I love it.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a while back for me. I don't want to give away my age yet, but, I used to, you know, one of my trainers, he used to train me because I started going to the amateurs of boxing. And, you know, we used to go to, he used to take me to where he worked. And, you know, he just worked at like a regular boxing gym like that with kickboxing classes and everything. And sometimes I would see some of the ladies or guys in there that were just there to stay fit. they would make their transition over. Then next thing you know, they were going into the amateurs, you know?
Yep, and
So
that's
I think
exactly
then
what
just getting the
happened.
feel of it, just it can wake up something in you. That's what it kind of did to you, right?
No, that's exactly what it did to me. I didn't even realize how much I love this sport before I, just tried it just for fun, just as a different, like a cross training for just staying in shape and stuff. So, yeah, it was kind of serendipitous, you know?
And so from kickboxing, how'd you get to mixed martial arts? How'd you go from that transition?
Yeah, so my coach actually got me a bunch of kickboxing fights before we even transitioned to MMA. I had about nine amateur kickboxing fights, and I was undefeated as a kickboxer. And then once we, it was a really weird transition because as a kickboxer, your stance is different. You're not, you're a lot closer together, and so then to transition to MMA, it's easier to get taken down. It's easier, and so we kind of struggled with that for a while, to not getting taken down so much. And then we just sat on wrestling, sat on jiu-jitsu for like the longest time. And we said, okay, we don't have to worry about kickboxing so much. Let's just worry about wrestling. So that the transition between kickboxing and MMA was like very different. It was kind of hard to get used to, but I had one of my really good training partners, Barb Ponchak, come in the gym.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
sure, yeah, I'm sure
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
familiar
yeah.
with
I
Barb.
followed on the
Yeah.
Tough Show, yeah, and before
Yep.
that, yeah.
Yeah. So I trained with her for a while, and that's where I feel like my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu got like grew exponentially. It was like through her help and obviously my coach's help that we really kind of like made the transition pretty flawless.
Oh, okay. And when did you feel like you were ready to just take on like even the amateurs? Like when was the point, when was it your decision, your coach said let's go ahead and test this?
Yeah, it wasn't my decision at all. It was coaches. He was like, okay, I think you're ready for, I had this girl come across my desk, and she was from like Spokane, Yakima area. She was a wrestler by trade. And so he was like, I think this would be a really good matchup for you. I think at that time she was like maybe 1-1 or 2-0 or something like that, but she only had like one or two max fights. And it was a really cool venue. Actually, it was all outdoors. It was in August, up here at Tulalip Casino. And that was my first introduction to MMA. And I mean, obviously it went really well. I got the, I think it was like a second round rear naked choke. So against a wrestler, I was like, oh man, okay, this is pretty cool. Like I wasn't expecting that at all. But and then my coach was like, okay, I think we're ready to actually kind of do something with this and kind of see where we can take it. So
And what's that feeling like when you first get to just submit somebody and you know it's over and they just like give up to you, they surrender to you? Like what was that feeling like?
It's such a weird feeling. It's hard to put in words. I mean, I think I'm just a natural born competitor. I just love to compete. It doesn't really matter what sport I'm doing. I mean, I'm so competitive that like I'll turn anything into a competition. So it's funny, like my training partners or like my friends will just get so annoyed with me because I literally try to turn anything and everything into a competition. It's just that, feeling of winning that it just feels so good. I think I love to win more than I hate to lose.
Okay.
So
Yeah, it makes
yeah,
sense.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You came from a competitive background family, huh? Like, didn't you say you used to have brothers too? Y'all used to rough house and stuff like that?
Yes, they, I didn't do much fighting them. It was more them fighting me and me getting my ass whooped with three older brothers. So I kind of grew up in just like a bunch of sports, them always playing football or basketball, baseball, and then me just trying to keep up with the boys constantly. So that was the majority of my childhood was just that. And so we were always, I was always running with boys and trying to compete with them. So I think that's kind of where I, grew up and kind of it was like inbred in me.
So they're your punching bags now, right?
Yeah, so the one is the other two I'm not as close with. They're like they're kind of much older than I am. They're like in their 40s now, but my one brother is he just turned 31 actually, and him and I are like super close. He goes to like all my fights, and if he can't go to them, obviously because of like the pandemic or whatever, he's always watching them. He's one of my biggest fans, biggest supporters. So it's nice to, you know, be able to talk with him about that.
Moving to LFA, like when did you, how did you get the call, and how did you get a contract with LFA?
Yeah, so we, my first fight was Lisa Malden, and we struggled regionally to find a 115 fight for me for probably, God, it was almost probably a year. So I was, you know, I had to find fights at like 135. I think I even fought at like 150, which I've never even been 150 before, but I fought a girl that was 150 and I like weighed in at 130 pounds. So at that time, I think LFA called my coach and said, hey, we've got this flyweight fight. We think it'd be a good matchup. And she was a background, her background was in Muay Thai. So we thought it was a good matchup. We were comfortable with that and even more comfortable with the weight. We were like, okay, that's no problem at all. And then after I fought her and won, I think LFA really realized that like, oh man, she had a really good performance and showcased like really good striking skills. We want to bring her back and actually see her at 115 and see what she can do. So I think that's how that kind of landed in LFA, and they really got behind me. They were like huge supporters, promoted me quite a bit. And yeah, I've been super happy with LFA, and it was just such a high level as far as like a feeder program to the UFC. It was nice to kind of get behind them.
Are you sure you don't have any boxing in your blood? Cause like, I just watch boxing. All day. I grew up on it, and I was just like, you know, I just saw like your first few fights and I was like, you just had a lot of natural movement in there and just a lot of good distance management. I was like, okay. I was like, where I never seen her before. You know, I was like, you sure you ain't never have no fights in the street or anywhere?
Never in the street. You know, my grandpa was such a huge boxer. He was, he's actually from Mexico. And he watched all the, like the Mexican boxers and loved them. And so I remember like as a kid, that just being on the TV. And my mom's always been a huge fan of boxing, but I've never done any boxing ever before. But I think again, like growing up with brothers and stuff, you learn spacing, you kind of learn like some athletic movements. And so that's a huge compliment though. Thank you for that.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're welcome.
I think probably I have to like give my coach kudos a lot because I think he's the best, you know, striking wrestling coach and jujitsu coach in the game. So it means a lot that you said that.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Cause like I said, like I came from that background and my dad, he taught it to me. My mom, she liked it too. And my mom, she, since she's a woman, she wouldn't go easy on me. Like when she hit me, she made every punch count when she used to hit me. So I was just like, okay, I know what a good punch feels like, you know, a good punch that's turned over. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, the Southern mom though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, they don't take no crap.
No, they don't. I wouldn't even start nothing most of the time either. I just get it like that. But
exactly.
But let's see. Going back to your first chance at a title against Vanessa Demopoulos, I mean that was a really good fight. Could you just go back and, you know, play that back through your mind, like how you felt as far as like through some of the rounds and then just that last round when it was just like, dang.
Yeah. So, you know, I get sometimes frustrated, but I think it's, you know, it was a blessing in disguise that the way it all ended up. I followed the game plan the first three rounds. I was just going to strike with her and I was basically going to showcase everything that I had with kickboxing and boxing and things like that. And I wasn't even going to play on the ground with her. Cause I respected her ground game quite a bit. And then after that third round, I felt myself getting a little too cocky and straying away from the game plan. And I thought once I actually felt her, once I had my hands on her, she didn't feel as strong as, you know, I did. And I was kind of getting a little too comfortable and a little, my ego came in a little bit too much on that one. And so I felt confident going down to the ground with her. And then it was just a fluke. She threw her legs up as kind of like a last ditch effort. And then it got around and I didn't even really think it was that tight at first, and then it really sunk in, and then I was like, okay, I'll just I'm not going to tap. I'll just go out.
Okay. I mean, yeah, like up to that point, you know, stuff like that happens in life sometimes. You know, whatever it is you have, it's right there. But sometimes it'll just like you lose it. So I didn't lose any respect for you. I was just like, man, I mean, round after round, right, that performance you were putting on, it was a solid performance. And you might take this too, because I tell a lot of people this, like, don't think of an L as a loss. Think of it as a learning experience.
Yep.
You know,
and that's exactly what my coach and I talked about too. You know, we sat on jiu-jitsu quite a bit after that too. And, you know, I think it's helped. It's, I think you definitely learn more from a loss than you do from a win. So, sure. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. My 2020 was just a bust. Like, my bucket list was to hit the mat, try BJJ, try something different, try to go into that element. But like, tell me, what type of mind do I need to go in, you know, just different, that, you know, push the box in the way, right? I got to push the box in mind frame away, right? But like, what type of mind frame do I got to go in to hit the mats for the first time?
With jiu-jitsu, I think two things. I think you need to leave. I don't even know if you do, but I don't know if you have an ego or anything like that, but leave your ego at the door, completely let that go. And two, don't try to muscle everything. I think with, you know, like, I'm sure if you feel like a sharp jab, you don't even really, like, you just like throw it out there and it just like connects and just feels so like clean and crisp. And I think that's the same with BJJ a little bit. You just need to like make it flow and go easy and kind of, you know, transition and listen to your coach and things like that. But it's not about like muscling things. It's about technique instead of, and I think I struggled with that for, you know, a good year, my first year of BJJ. It was just like, I'm just trying to like muscle everything and force everything. And that's not, you're not going to get anywhere with that. You just kind of let it flow and just, it's all about leverage. So if you have that kind of mindset, then I think that's probably most helpful.
Okay. I appreciate that advice, because it's very similar to what everybody's saying. So I know you're not BSing me.
No.
I know you, okay. I'm like, okay, she's real with it. Okay. But okay, one more thing. Yeah, like I said, the highlight finish that I did for my last show a couple months back, Danielle Heinle, like,
yes.
What was the feeling of getting that win in a comeback fight?
Man, that was, honestly, I needed it, because losing the title fight against Vanessa from a choke and then coming back and just being like, you know, fuck it. Like, I know I got choked out my last one, but I'm going to come back even stronger. And this is like always the mindset that I've had, was it doesn't matter what happened in my last fight. I'm coming back and I'm going to give everything 110% in every single fight that I do. So for me, once I felt that I had that neck cinched in, I was like, it's done. I know that all I needed was 6 or 8 seconds and it was over. But that win, to me, I needed it so badly. And so
I saw, you know, the look on your face too, whenever you had it, you was like, I need this. I could tell.
Yep. I know it. I've got it. And everything else is kind of history. Cause it just felt good to get that. And that's, again, always the mentality that I've had, is just, you know, you forget about kind of the past. I mean, you use it to help you go forward, but you just keep going.
Okay. All right. So you took a short notice to the UFC. I mean, how did that come about? Like, what was the process for them contacting you with that?
Man, that was such a weird, so it happened on a Sunday. I think it was, I guess it was like 5 days before December 12th. So that must've been the 7th. And it was a Sunday, and Mick Maynard called me and my coach, and he was like, hey, I've got this short notice fight, if you want to take it. And we kind of both looked at each other, and we were making jokes in the gym that we were like, well, you know, COVID's going around, people are getting tested and stuff, so maybe we just need to stay ready for, you know, something to fall through. Mm-hmm. And I think even at the time, my coach made a joke that, you know, somebody even in the top 10, and I was like, no, that wouldn't happen. I don't believe that. And then sure enough, it did. And, cause Angela Hill tested positive. And then, So Mick called us up and said, hey, do you want to take this? And I just remember looking at him and I was like, you know what, let's do it. Let's just put everything on the line and let's show up and tell everybody, you know, who we are and what we stand for and stuff. So that was a pretty cool experience, but I knew I had a lot of work to do that week because it was like 17 pounds or something like that. And that was a hell of a week, but it was fun. And I'm just excited that this next one is announced now that I can actually showcase, you know, with a camp and kind of show who I am and put on a really, really good performance.
All right. Since you bring that up, go ahead and break that good news. You know, that's something big right there.
Yeah. So literally like minutes before we hopped on the call, I saw that it was formally announced on social media that my next fight will be February 27th against Emily Whitmire in Vegas. So I'm pretty excited about it. We've known about it for probably maybe 3 weeks before this, but couldn't say anything, waiting for the UFC to announce it, and it's out there.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear you coming back, but you know, 2020 has been a rough year for a lot of people. And like I said, I can't really complain with some things. Some things have been good, but a lot of people around me, they've been, you know, dealing with a lot of, you know, troubles with family, work. But for you, like, how much of a blessing has 2020 been for you? Because you've been active last year. It was pretty active for you.
You know, Anthony, that's funny that you say that, because I feel really, really badly for some of my really close friends that have been truly affected by COVID and just the pandemic and losing the jobs and stuff. And, you know, it's hard for me to be excited about my successes and things like, and how busy and how active I've been in 2020, because I think I ended up fighting 4 times, which, you know, some people don't even do that in a regular year. So to do that in a pandemic, I've been, you know, truly blessed, and I'm just happy. I just hope that I can stay as active in 2021. And I just hope I keep the ball rolling, because I'm excited. I like being that active.
Okay. So what's like your total end game? What do you want everybody to know about you as a fighter? You know, whenever you accomplish what you want to accomplish and you're done with the sport.
Ooh, good question. Well, I intend to do big things in this sport, and, you know, within the next like 3 to 5 years, I see myself making a run in the top 10 and eventually for, you know, the world title. So as a strawweight, that's my goal, and I'm not going to stop until I've accomplished that goal, and we'll see what happens, but I'm very excited.
Okay. If you weren't a fighter, what else would you be doing?
Oh, honestly, I'd probably be doing accounting, sitting at a desk, being super unhappy.
I thought you were an egg farmer at first. One day you posted some eggs up, so I was like, maybe she got a hand at farming. I was like, dang, okay. But you just
that was one of my sponsors. She's got her whole farm, and so she gives me, you know, cartons of eggs like every week or every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's super nice. They're so good. They're like farm fresh, like cage free. They're good.
Okay. All right. I was like, dang, she an egg farmer. Okay, that's what she do out there in Washington. But looks like I caught you in the middle of training too, right?
So I had a morning training this morning up until noon, and then I've got to go back to the gym here in about a couple hours.
Okay, what time is it? They're 1, right? Like
1:30? Yeah, it's 1:30. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just wanted you to, you know, sit down and actually get a chance to let everybody know about you, and you just broke some good news too.
Anthony, thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, contact me and set this up and stuff. I was looking forward to it for a long time.
Hey, for sure. No problem. Don't be a stranger. You can always come back, you know.
Awesome.
Before you go, though, just let everybody know where they can follow you at too.
Awesome. Yeah, I keep my handles super simple. It's just Sam Hughes MMA for Twitter, Instagram, and then just Sam Hughes for Facebook. Follow me. Check me out.
That's cool. But thanks again, Sam, for coming through, and good luck. You know, hope everything goes well, the training.
Awesome. Anthony, thank you so much. Again, I appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, for sure. Don't be a stranger. And thanks again.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. My name is Sam Hughes, and you can check me out at #CB99Talks.